they were talking about. The Bible's the Jesus book. And that's why we read the Bible, because it's the Jesus book, and we love it. So I guess my question is, how was your Christmas? Did you have a good Christmas? I got a phone call. My cousin phoned me the day after Christmas. And I said, Betty, how was your Christmas? She said, well, pretty good, but... I said, what do you mean, but? Well, she said, on Christmas Eve, my daughter fell. And she broke her wrist, but she landed on her head as well, and she got a bad concussion. She's still in hospital. Oh, I thought this. And then she said, and then I got a call from my nephew, and my brother has died. He died on Christmas Eve. But he was almost 96 years old. So I said, that's too bad. She said, it's not too bad. He's gone to heaven. And so anyway, lots of things happen at Christmas. And we had a good Christmas, but sometimes we had a bit of a problem Christmas too. Lots of things coming and going. My question this morning is, what do we do after Christmas? What comes after Christmas? And the answer is a number of things. It's kind of interesting. I don't think it's biblical, but New Year's comes after Christmas. And that's important, even though the Bible doesn't tell us precisely when the Lord Jesus died or when the New Year should begin in our society. But we're happy that after Christmas, there's a new year and a hope for a new year. So I ask myself repeatedly the question, what comes after Christmas? And there's a responsibility, I think, comes after Christmas. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 55. In your Bibles, in the Jesus book, Isaiah chapter 55. And some verses that many of us have memorized, Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7, say, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. What do we do after Christmas? Answer, we seek the Lord. I want you just to consider some of the examples from Scripture of that. What happened to the shepherds? What did the shepherds do after the news of Scripture, of the news of Christmas? And the answer is, they ran to Bethlehem to see what was going on. They sought the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that that's a principle that we should follow. They saw the news. They heard the news. There was no question. It was big news. They heard it from the angels. Hark, they listened to the angels. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. They said, we're going to go and seek the newborn king. Lord, we pray that you'll just bless our meditations this morning as we consider your truths again. And Lord, we've all had eventful Christmases. And we pray that you'll bless some, Lord, with heartaches and sorrow, but some with great blessing. And we pray that each of us will just turn our hearts and say, Lord, thank you for Christmas. Now, what should we do next? And so we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's true, you remember the story. The shepherds went to the manger. They saw the Lord Jesus, and then they went and told everybody. I suppose that's a good thing for us to do after Christmas, isn't it? We've seen the good news. We've heard the good news. And we say, I've got to tell other people about the good news as well. The next story, of course, you remember, and it followed Christmas, was the story of, it was the story of, actually, we don't know precisely the order here. We often think that the next thing to happen was the wise man came. I'm going to tell you that story now, but I'm not sure it was the next in the event. How long did it take for the wise men to come? Well, quite possibly quite a while. They came from a long way away, and they had to get organized. They had to go to Jerusalem to find out where the Lord Jesus was, and so on. But you remember that story. They came from a great distance. They came with great expense, diligence, purpose, inconvenience. It was easy for the shepherds. How long do you think it took the shepherds to get from where they saw the angel and heard the message until they got to the manger? I don't know. I can't believe it took them more than half an hour. They didn't live very far away. They weren't very far away. And they had a pretty good idea, I think, that they knew where they were going. So it was easy for them. How long did it take the shepherds, the wise men to get there? And we don't know where they came from the east. How far away from Jerusalem is, or from Bethlehem, is the east? It could have been a few days' journey. Could have been a whole lot longer. They somehow had to get organized to come. When they came, they went to Jerusalem, and they asked there. They didn't get a very good answer. They had to wait to get an answer. And then they saw the star again, and then they went. And on the way back, they had a difficulty as well. But they are an example to us in many respects. You've maybe seen the bumper sticker. You've seen it in a lot of other places as well. And it simply says, wise men still seek him. They came seeking the Savior. They went home another way. Is that a very simple picture of the reaction that we should have? We came to Christmas. We saw Christmas. And then we say, Lord, Christmas isn't just an ordinary thing. Christmas is the best story that you got at the beginning of the life of Jesus. I'm, by the grace of God, I'm going to go home another way. Wise men still seek him. I want to seek the Savior. If I seek the Savior and it's easy, and so for some of us it was, in my case, seeking the Savior was very easy because I grew up right here in these four walls. And I had the Savior taught to me when I was at home. And I had the Savior taught to me by most of my friends. It was easy for me. For some of you, you've come a long way. You had to learn a lot. You had to unlearn a lot to get your background in the things of God. You were like the wise men. And you came seeking and seeking and seeking. So what do you do when you find the Savior? You don't stop seeking. This is the Jesus book. And we say, Lord, I want to learn more and more and more from this wonderful Jesus book. So what's the next story we have about people who, what they did after Christmas? And so you go back, we should look in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 2. After the shepherds, the next main story, or the next interpersonal story, I guess, is in verse number 25. It says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. That's a marvelous phrase, isn't it? What did Jesus bring? Consolation to Israel. That's why he came to you and me. He came to bring consolation. I'm not sure all that that implies, but it's wonderful, whatever it is. And you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and you'll begin to recognize and realize the consolation that Israel realized. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child to do for him after the custom of the law, then Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, and he says, verse 19, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. What was the blessing of Simeon when he saw Jesus? What came to him after Christmas, if you like? And the answer is peace. I think it's marvelous. He said, Lord, let me now depart in peace. Probably an old man, maybe not that old. But what he did was this. He realized that the Lord Jesus Christ was the giver of peace. Jesus alone can give peace. Very strange to me. What a tragedy. The United Nations has an objective to bring peace to the world and a rule that they're not to talk about Jesus at the United Nations. How can you possibly have peace without Jesus? So, what do you do after Christmas? Well, you seek the Lord. You seek the Lord the way the shepherds sought the Lord. You seek the Lord the way the wise men sought the Lord. You seek the Lord the way Simeon sought the Lord. What did Simeon have to do to seek the Lord? Well, he waited until the truth of God was revealed to him. Like the wise men, he sought it out, and he didn't get it immediately. Sometimes you want to know the truth about God, and you've got to be patient enough to wait till the Lord tells you, and seek it, and then he'll tell you. So what happened after that? And the next story, of course, is about Anna, the prophetess. Verse 36 says, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayer night and day. And she, coming in at that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. What do you do after Christmas? Well, like Anna, you say, Lord, this is marvelous. I'm going to start talking to all those who are looking for redemption in Israel. Have you ever met somebody who's looking? Somebody who doesn't really know where the answers are? You go tell them about Jesus. The meaning of Christmas. Why did Jesus come? He came to bring peace. He came to bring joy. He came to bring gifts. He came for all the other reasons. But tell them. That's what Anna did. How old was Anna? She was 84. Or some people even suggest that she was 84 years after her husband died. I think that's maybe a little bit much. But let's assume she was only 84 years old. What was her job? To tell people about Jesus. So raise your hand if you're too old to tell people about Jesus. And the answer is, of course not. Our job is to tell people about Jesus, and we don't get early retirement from that job. We just keep on telling people about Jesus. That's the message. That's the most important thing. So what do you do after Christmas? And the answer is you seek the Lord. One other in that theme now. And it's in the next verse. You've got your Bible open to Luke chapter 2. Verse 39 says, "And when they," that is Joseph and Mary, "had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city of Nazareth." What did Joseph and Mary do after Christmas? After the birth of the Lord, what did they do? They did all things according to the law. The details are given to us, and it's true. They took him on the eighth day to be circumcised. That's what the law commanded. But that's not when Simeon and Anna saw him. And they came after that for the purification of Mary, according to the details of the law. And we don't hear much about that. We don't think much about that in our day, but it was a big deal to them. There was a law, and their simple truth was they were going to follow the law on every in every way. Why were Joseph and Mary selected to be the parents of the Lord Jesus Christ? In part because they were totally devoted to the Lord, not partially. They were totally devoted to the Lord. Interestingly enough, the next verses say that they went back to Nazareth. But they came down, verse 41. "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover." Was that convenient? Well, I'm not sure. I was going to look it up in the map. I've been there to both Nazareth and to Jerusalem. But frankly, it only took me a couple of hours to make the drive. How long would it have taken them to go from Nazareth to Jerusalem? They went down before the baby was born. Every year they went back. Three times in the year, the men were commanded to go to Jerusalem. At least every Passover, Joseph went to Jerusalem for the feast. But he didn't go alone. Mary went with him. And Mary and Joseph didn't go alone. They took the Lord Jesus with them. That's how he happened to be there when he was 12 years old, doing the great work of God in the temple, speaking to the religious leaders of his day. They were totally committed. Is that the word? It wasn't convenient for them to make that trip to Jerusalem several times a year, every year. They did. What do we do after Christmas? Each of us say, well, I guess if we've enjoyed the blessings of Christmas, then our responsibility is to fulfill the responsibilities of those that follow the Lord after Christmas. Seek the Lord. What does the world do after Christmas? Well, they go back to their old ways. But it is interesting, isn't it? Even in our peculiar society, we still have New Year's resolutions. It's almost as if the world understands that following Christmas should come resolutions to, I think they missed the point. The point is to seek the Lord. But at least they had some resolution. Is the theme, seek the Lord, an important theme? And the answer is yes, we read it. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. But I looked up some other verses on the subject of seeking the Lord, and I'll give them to you quickly. There's the verse in Acts chapter 17 and verse 27, and it says, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but there is coming a time, there is now a time, when all should seek the Lord in order to find him. Jeremiah says, seek ye the Lord Sorry, it says, you shall seek me, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Colossians 3 says, seek those things which are above. Our objective is continually to be seeking the Lord. Hebrews 11. You might turn to it. Hebrews 11. It's a wonderful verse, one that you might decide you're going to memorize, maybe even decide it as a New Year's resolution to memorize. Hebrews 11:6. This is what it says. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What follows Christmas? Diligently seek him. It's a marvelous principle. What are the blessings of following him? Well, they're many. They're wonderful. What are they? They're a rewarder, a suitable reward for those who diligently seek him. Do you diligently seek? Did you diligently seek him in 2025? Would it be wise if you were to more diligently seek him in 2026? And you sort of bow your head and nod your head and say, that'd be a good idea. Well, this is a good idea. Diligently seek him. What comes after Christmas? Seek the Lord.
我们殷勤的寻求神在我们的 2020年。
Sounds good. All right. So I went over to the book of John in my mind, and I'm going to ask you to do the same. What happens in the book of John? And in chapter 1, you get a number of the, I'm going to call them a number of the zealous, John's disciples, Peter and others. They were zealous devotees of the Lord Jesus Christ. They sought the Lord, and they found him, and they followed him. So, that's a good story, John chapter 1. What do you learn in John chapter 2? And in John chapter 2, you get the wedding, the marriage of family in Galilee. And these were a different kind of people than in chapter 1. They were a married couple, and they said, you know, we should get married. Let's have a wedding. And I'm sure the husband said to the wife, okay, I'll take care of things. We'll have a wedding. And he goofed it up, and they didn't have enough wine. I never did get married, but I think if I had got married and the first thing in the marriage was the wedding, and I said to my wife, I'll take care of it, and I botched it, I think she would say, Harold, I'm not really sure things are going to work out terribly well. If you can't get a good start, how are you going to get a good finish? And so I'm not sure what to call this guy. I call him hapless, and I'm not even sure that that's a word. But the fact is that he didn't really know what he was doing. But by the grace of God, he found the Savior, and the Lord solved his problem for him. And he rejoiced and drank of the good things that the Lord gave him. I think that's a good way. Seek the Lord. Even in the midst of complete, helpless, hopeless confusion, seek the Lord. You go to chapter 3, you find a religious leader. His name was Nicodemus. What did he do? He sought the Lord, came in the middle of the night to find him. He sought him out. And what did he get? Well, he got salvation. He became a wonderful servant of the Lord. He was honored to bury the Lord Jesus Christ. You go to chapter 4. And you find this sinner woman. She was a flagrant sinner. She wasn't really looking for the Lord. He was looking for her. But when they came in contact with one another in a wonderful way, that wicked woman, she'd had five husbands, was living with number six. She was probably an outcast from her society. What did she do when she met the Lord? Well, I tell you what most people in similar circumstances would do. They'd turn around and run away. And she didn't. She stayed. She listened. She heard what he had to say. He told her all things that ever she did. Do you think she enjoyed that, being reminded of all the bad things she'd done? I think it's remarkable. She didn't run away. She listened to him as he analyzed her life. She said, "You're right. You must be the Messiah. If you understand me that well, you probably are able to honor your promise to help me." And she ran into the city and told everybody. I think the contrast between what she was and what she became as a result of her meeting the Lord at the well was so dramatic, all the city came out to hear the Savior. What do these stories have in common? They all sought the Lord. They all acknowledged Christmas was there, but they sought the Lord. What do you do when you get to chapter 5 of John? It's a story about a man who's helpless, hopeless, lying on a couch at the pool of Bethesda, sick, unable to move, and so hopeless he didn't even have any friends to help him. He thought it would be nice if God could help me, but there's no way he can help me. I'm too slow. And there's nobody who's going to help me get there any faster. What happened to him? He met Jesus. And Jesus healed him. And he goes off to the temple to worship the God who looked at him in his need. Why do we seek the Lord? We'd seek the Lord for the same reasons they sought the Lord. And one of the reasons we seek the Lord is because without him, we're helpless. And we're hopeless. And frankly, if God doesn't help us, there's no hope. And that's the wonderful story of John chapter 5. They all sought the Lord. You get to John chapter 6, and they followed the Lord for days as he preached to them. And they got hungry, and he fed them. What did they do after that? Well, they came back the next day for more. They didn't all come back for the right reason, but many of them came back. What do you do after Christmas? You seek the Lord. What does he do? If you seek him, then you will find him. Jeremiah, if you search for me with all your heart, you'll find me. Paul promises the same in Acts 17. You seek the Lord, you'll find him. You seek the Lord in your trouble, he'll help you. You seek the Lord in your joy, he'll reward you richly. Hebrews 11, verse 6. If you're going to come to God, you must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What are you going to do in 2026? Well, I think you said, this is what I'd like to seek the Lord in 2026. I'd like to seek him more in 2026 than I did in 2025. Did he bless me when I sought him in 2025? Yes, he did. Was it a perfect year? Well, not necessarily from my immediate point of view, but sooner or later, God will say, when it's all put together, he'll say, I was with you. I'll help you. But you need it in 2026. And you need to say, Lord, regardless of which situation I'm in, all of these situations, in many respects, speak to all of us. And we say, Lord, by God's grace, I want to seek you in 2026. And what will be our conclusion? We'll conclude that he indeed was a rewarder of each of us who diligently sought him. Lord, we want to thank you for the Christmas story. And it's a marvelous story, Lord, but it's not the end. It's the beginning. It's all about the birth of a baby. The Lord, he grew. And there was so much more, so much wonderful things lying ahead. When we first see him, he's just lying in a manger, the promise of good food for those who will seek him. But as he goes through life, he exemplifies all that that manger implies and all the good that he brings to countless who lived in his day and to multitudes more down through the years that follow. We thank you that we have a God who rewards those who diligently seek him. Lord, may each of us say thanks for Christmas. Now, I want to diligently seek you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.